for his people. How many of you have a future? If you're living, you have a future, right? Even if you've already, none of you have, but even if someone has already gone to be with the Lord, they have a future. But they have one up on us, don't they? They're with the Lord. We have to face the future in this old earth. Not knowing what tomorrow's going to bring forth. Every time we enter a new year, seems we are challenged to do things better. Do you make New Year's resolutions? I'm going to do this better, I'm going to do that better, I'm going to eat better, I'm going to exercise better. Huh? Paul, on one occasion, told us that he personally wanted to forget those things which are behind. You have anything you want to forget? Behind you? Let go of it? But then he said, I reach forward to those things which are ahead. You can't do much about what's behind. It's done. It's over. But you can do something about what's ahead. So now is a good time for us to consider our course for this coming year of 2014. And reach out to those things which are ahead. Things which will do us good in our future. And forget the things that are behind us. So right now, in your mind, you see that list of things that happened in 2013? Close your eyes, you see that list? Wipe it clean. It's blank now. Now begin to map out. And I'm going to give you some instructions about mapping your future here this morning. What's important? I do that with the basis of what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Colossae. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. Say it with me. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. One more time. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Holy Spirit, come speak to our hearts. This is time for the Word of God. It's time when you speak to our lives through what you have written to your church. And help us, Lord, to focus in on things that are important for our future, especially in this coming year. Help us, Lord, at this moment to set a foundation as to what we will be focusing on, as to what our attention will be on for this coming year. Lord, we've already wiped clean the things of the past. They're gone, they're behind us, they're done, they're over. And now, Lord, we lay a basis for this coming year. Holy Spirit, quicken our minds and quicken our hearts and help us to be attentive to the things that are above. Amen. Number one, identify who you are. Sunday before last, Christmas Eve, after service was over, we invited Brother and Sister Wright to go with us over to our house and have some fellowship. They walked in the door, and inside the door on the wall there to the right is this big picture frame. And it has somebody's portrait in it. He has hair. Sister Izetta looked up and said, "Who's that?" That's how much I've changed. And I said, "That's the man that replaced George Washington in that frame." That doesn't make me any better known or any more well known than the fellow that was in the frame before. But who are you? Identify who you are. Paul did right here when he wrote to the Colossian Christians. He said, "You are resurrected to new life with Christ." How many are resurrected to new life in Christ? Amen. How many of you used to be dead, rotten scoundrels?
Yeah.
Amen. Huh?
Amen.
Some of you don't want to admit it. But all of us at one time were walking dead people.
That's right.
We were dead to Christ, not in Christ. We were alive to sin. But the day that you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, that day when you bowed your head and you prayed that prayer, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." The day when you surrendered your heart, your life, your soul to Jesus Christ, the old man was crucified. He was put to death. And I know some of you ladies are glad the old man was crucified. Hello? The old husband. Some of you husbands are glad the old lady was crucified. Put to death. But I want you to know that Jesus doesn't allow you to become crucified and stay there. Hallelujah. Once we were crucified, like Christ was on the cross, crucified to the flesh, crucified to the old life, dead to the old sins of our lives of the past, He breathed upon us resurrecting life. Hallelujah! And we became alive with a new life in Christ. Old things things passed away, and behold, all things become new. So that means you are walking in newness of life. Living a life that is dead to sin, but alive to the righteousness and holiness of Christ. Somebody say praise the Lord. I go down the road and I go past these places where people populate and go in. I see them after work. Their cars start showing up. And some of them I understand every night. I had a man came to my church on the eastern shore. He carried an empty beer can right beside his car seat in his car so he could hold it in his hand till he got down the road and could stop by the tavern. And every night after work, there's where he went. Every night after work, that's where his wife could find him. And he stayed there and drank until it was time to go home and go to bed. Get up, go to work the next day. Same routine. He came to church that morning and got saved. And he didn't go back to the tavern on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know what happened? The tavern owner called him up and wanted to know where he was. It's like the preacher calls you up when you miss a few times and wants to know what's going on. He was hooked on that way of life, but now he became a new individual, a new life. He was dead to the sins of the past and alive to the righteousness and holiness of Jesus Christ. Somebody say praise the Lord. That's who you are. We identify who you are. We who were sinners have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. I had an old gentleman on the Eastern Shore, came to church and got saved, and you know what they said throughout the community? If John Chance has gone to church and got saved, it's time for everybody to go to church and get saved. I didn't think that would ever happen. He hadn't been inside of a church door in 50 years. But there he was, serving the Lord. So, wow! Sinners who have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. We sang that chorus a while ago about surrendering everything to Him. About Him becoming Lord of our life. That's who we are. We are now identified with Christ, the one who died for us and who also arose for us. So I want you to know that there's more to you than just a social security number. There's more about who you are that identifies you than that the day you were born on and the name on your birth certificate. There's more about you to identify you than how you look and what features you have from mom, dad, or whoever. There's more to you than that. You are identified as being resurrected to new life in Christ. Who have you been identified with this past year? With your family? Everywhere Tom and Marcia go, Caleb and Eli are there. Everybody knows they belong to the Singer family. Hello? Every time you see Harry, Betty is with him. She's identified with Harry Ryan. How many years ago did you say I do? 51 years ago. Wow.
This month.
The 19th. All right. You going out to celebrate? Way to go. Identified with. You are identified. You know, when you are seen, you're identified with your family. You're identified with the place and the people you work with or you go to school with. You become a part of that that identifies who you are. Where did you go to school, Sylvia?
Romney, West Virginia.
All right, and there's no place will ever be like Romney, West Virginia. I went to Jane Buchanan in Mercersburg, and I'm telling you what, it's a better school than Romney, West Virginia. North says that about South in Hagerstown, and South says the same, Smithsburg and Boonesboro. I went to Smithsburg, that's a better school than Boonesboro, my kids would say. Where do you work at? Paul works at the railroad. Well, one of those good jobs. So you become identified with where you work, where you go to school. You become identified with certain friends. Have you ever heard the old saying, if you run with the wolves, you howl with the wolves? You run with a bad crowd, you become like the bad crowd. You run with a good crowd, you become like the good crowd. Hello? Have you ever heard that saying? If you get in with a click, then you become like the click. And after a while, you get a click, click here, and a click, click there, and a click, click everywhere. That's why we don't allow clicks in the church. Hello? So you become identified with certain friends, with certain places you hang out at. Hopefully, you're hanging out with God's crowd.
Yeah.
Amen? So you see, you become identified this past year and in your lifetime. You become identified as certain individual in this life. I want you to recognize your true identity this morning. You are a son or a child of the living God, born again of the Spirit of Christ. That's who you are.
Praise the Lord.
How strongly have you been identified with Christ this past year? Does your family identify you with Christ? Did you ever hear, oh, we're going to have a picnic and Uncle George is going to be there and he's going to be preaching to everybody? Hello? You become identified, you're a Christian. You become so identified that certain circles you walk up to, they change their way of talking. They change their actions of how they act. Because they identify you with Christ and with His holiness and His righteousness. Do the people where you work or at school identify you with Jesus Christ? I was reminding Nathaniel the other day while we were traveling about where I went to school. And I had a teacher in my high school in the senior year that he would stand in front of the class and make fun of me. The preacher. He would poke ribbings at Linda and I. We'll find out how good of a boy you are. And you know, he made fun in front of the whole class, my teacher. Because I was preaching the gospel. I was living for Christ. Thank the Lord, since that, he's come back and he said, you know, I've been watching you. Took several years, but he said, you've done all right. You came out all right. So when we are where we work and where we go to school and the people we hang out with, the friends and the places where we hang out, do they all identify you as being a Christian? Being a part of Christ. Living a life for Jesus. I'm telling you what, that's more important. That's more important than where you live, which house you live in. It's more important than being identified as to which street you live on. To being identified as to who you are in society and in culture. To be identified that you are a child of Jesus Christ. Amen? Secondly, identify what is important in your life. What's been the important thing in your past year? You know, Linda and I and Nathaniel, we just got back from a trip, and this was a trip for Nathaniel, not Linda and I. It was his trip. So we said, you go where you want to go, as long as it included these five states. Well, he had to see the beardy people. You know who that is? Duck Commander. Phil Robertson and all of those. We got there. That was important. He was all excited. I could tell when we turned on the road that was going up toward where they were. He was all excited. He was actually trying to make duck calls with his own nose. Gonna maybe we'll get to see Phil. Maybe we'll get to see the other old fellow. Who is he? Si. Oh, you know who he is. We got to see them all right in cutouts. That's all. Kind of a letdown, you know. But that was an important thing. This is a goal. This is something I've identified, something I want to do. What did you identify in 2013? This is the important thing for me to do this year. What is it that you've picked out already? This is the important thing for me to do for 2014. Play the piano? Yeah. What is it that you want to do in 2014? You get it? Oh, you're just ripe for me to tell you what it is. Amen. John, sell more cars? How about you want to hit up 5 home runs this year? Yeah. All right. He's the ball player. What do you want to learn to do? Play the trumpet? Play the harmonica better? What is your goal? What's the thing I'm looking forward to this coming year? What is it that identifies what is important in my life? What is your mindset? Things on this earth or things in heaven? Paul said, is your mind set on things of this earth, that is, on worldliness? Therefore, he said, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Paul also says to the Colossians, but now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. So Paul is saying, get your mind off the things of this old world. How many of us are tempted by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life? Half of us aren't tempted. I know what tempts Rodney. Redskins whip those Steelers. They don't even play each other, do they? Huh? He's a Redskin fan. But we get all tied up on things of this earth, don't we? I hear it. I want my team to win. And we got on a trolley down in New Orleans the other day. And it was packed. I mean, it was jam-packed. People standing, holding on. You had to hold on to each other so the whole crowd didn't fall down. But the reason it was jammed is because the Saints were playing. And all these people were in town. You know what I heard all around me? What are their chances? What do you think? Can we do it? If we beat this team, if we beat that team? They had spent hundreds hundreds of dollars to come there to New Orleans, and we saw the lines around the Superdome where they were trying to get in before the game. There they were spending hours. You know, tomorrow, is it tomorrow? The Packers are playing?
Tonight.
L.A.?
Tonight.
Tonight. And guess what? It's going to be below zero. Now, we had some weathermen tell us we might have freezing rain here today. And look around. You braved everything to come out and be in the Lord's house. Guess what? That stadium will be packed tonight. People sitting in the freezing cold, regardless, just to watch somebody carry a pigskin across the grass. You tell me what's important? What are they identified with in life? They're identified with the things of this world. I saw the other. I saw on the internet the other day. This lady got so mad at some people that were her team was a loser or whatever. She jumped over top of people to beat on a fella who was rooting for the other team. You talk about getting into it. What's important in life? What are we identified with? We have a young man in our community. Boy, I'm telling you what, he has got him a deer stand like no other. And yesterday morning, below zero, I opened my Facebook and there he was. I'm sitting in my deer stand, one below zero, up here on top of the mountain. And I'm going to try to get me another deer. He's already got, I don't know, 10 or 12. I had a notion to type in and say, would you please share? But that's important. That's what identifies me. I'm identified with that. Things of this world. Maybe we are identified if I can get a better job, if I can make more money, if I can hit the jackpot. I was standing in a gas station down, I think somewhere down in Virginia, or I don't know, I came through so many states, maybe it was Alabama, but this fellow came in and he walked in the door and he saw me, he had a big ring on his finger and he said, I just lost $400 over there at the gambling casino and I need enough money to get a half a tank of gas to get to the next town. Can you help me out? I said, no. How much you give me for this ring? It's a diamond ring. I couldn't tell whether it was diamond or not. It glittered. But he was, I thought to myself, buddy, if getting to the next town was so important, why did you lose $400 at the casino? What are we identified with this world? What is our goals, our intents? Oh, it's all right. I want to get an education, yes. It's all right. I want to get a good job so that I can support a family, so that I can have the things of life that are necessary in life. But I like Paul's attitude. If in this life I have food and raiment, I am content. Amen. Where was his attention? On things above. Is your mind set on things of this earth? Or is it set on things above, the things of Christ? Listen to what Paul says. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. That wasn't apparent to the fellows that were driving the pickup the other night that run a man into the inner part of the interstate and shot him to death. That wasn't apparent to the man up at Fayetteville that when somebody came, he says, to rob him, he took a gun and shot and killed him to death. Ran after him after he was gone. Now he's sitting in the Franklin County Jail facing murder. That wasn't apparent, the things of Christ in their lives. Are the things of Christ important to you? Are they important to your life? Or are other things more important in life than Christ? He says, if you take on this attitude, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, listen, long suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you are to forgive them.
Amen.
That's a good recipe for a good marriage. Hello? Where's our mind? But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, in which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. You know, one of the things I hear so much is, give me more. Give me more. I want more. I want this. I want that. I want the other. Give me more. But Paul says, be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for the food that you've got to eat. I don't know about you, but we grew up poor. My dad cut corn with a corn chopper for farmers. That's how he made a living. And we kids had to go to the cornfield, and that's where we played all day long while mom and dad were in the cornfield cutting corn. We had meat and potatoes because granny grew the meat and the potatoes. Hello? I remember dad, when he went to work, he didn't have lunch meat. He didn't have meat to take along for a sandwich. He put cereal in a bottle and filled it with milk, and that's what he ate for his lunch. That's all they could afford. And you can imagine by lunchtime it was soggy cereal. I mean, like soggy cereal. Huh? Ow. Jacob likes soggy cereal. Oh, I like some crunch to it. Hello? Raised poor, didn't have much in life. I growing up, never had a ball, never had the things of life that you kids have today. My goodness, I come to your houses and you've got this and you've got that and you've got the other and you've got... You know what I had to use for a gun to play cowboys and Indians? A stick. I found a stick that looked something like a gun. Boom, boom, boom. That was what it was all about. We played in the creek. We played in the mud. My sisters taught me how to make mud pies. And then they taught me how to eat them. Are we thankful for what we have? When we close our eyes and begin to pray over our food, is it just a routine, or do we really thank God for what I've got? When we crawl in our automobile, when I talk about automobiles, my dad had an old 56 Hudson Hornet that was all patched up. And he wanted to take me to school in it and drop me off. When we got to the outskirts of the school, I said, this is fine, Dad, let me out here. I was embarrassed. I didn't have a car to drive to school. Some of the other boys, their daddy, you know, they were rich enough. They bought their boys brand new automobiles. I had to ride the bus clear up through 12th grade to get to school. Well, I wasn't quite that far back. But you see how, are we thankful for what we've got? Are we grateful for what God has given us? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Lauren, Jacob, I appreciate this song this morning. And I could tell it came from your hearts. Came from inside. It was part of you. It wasn't just singing a song. It wasn't about just thumping out some music. It was about glorifying God, giving praise to the Lord. Is that where our attention is? Is that where our minds are? Is that where our heart is? Listen to what the apostle said, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So if you've got a job to go work for, give thanks to the Father. Amen. If you've got a car to get into and to drive, give thanks to the Father.
Amen.
Amen. If you've got food to eat on the table, give thanks to the Father. If you have Doritos that you can dip in cheese, thanks to the Father. Amen. If you have clothes to wear, doesn't matter if it's this red shirt. $4.
All right.
Amen. Over at Greencastle, in that, what do they do? No. Goodwill.
All right.
I've had many more comments on this red shirt, and I have $4.
$4.
I thank the Lord for it. Amen. I thank God that somebody who couldn't wear it or didn't want to wear it brought it there so as I could buy it and wear it. Hello? Thank the Lord. Thank God for everything you have. Where's your mind? Is it on the things of this earth or is it on the things of God? Closing. Seek those things which are above. Hello? Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. You know, 50 years from now, it won't make any difference whether there was Obamacare or not. It won't make any difference as to how many taxes we had to pay or not. Because I'm telling you what's the truth, 50 years from now, I'm going to be in glory. Hallelujah. See, that makes me 68, 50 years. At a ripe old age. But it's not important the things of this earth. Guess what? They vanish. That 56 Hudson Hornet Dad has, I know where it's at. It's sitting in a field up close to Fort Loudoun, Pennsylvania, rusting up. I've tried to buy it from the man. They won't sell it to me. Can you imagine that? I was ashamed to get out of it when I was a teenager. But now I want to buy it back. But guess what? Go out to Grimm's. Anybody know where Grimm's Junkyard is? All of those cars one day were brand new. Sitting on the showroom floor. Look where they're at now. How many have some clothes in your closet you don't wear anymore? You remember when you got them? You said, "Wow! These new sneakers... these new whatever. Ah, boy, I'm it now. I've got the brand name." And now there they are sitting in your closet. And you don't wear them anymore. They come and go. Things of this earth grow strangely dim when we see the glory of His grace. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, the things of this world are not important. So the basis, the foundation for 2014 is to present yourself to God, approved to Him, and past that, all the other things are incidentals. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
How many agree with me? Stand up. If you don't, keep sitting. She's getting up. You see, if we're not careful, we get so caught up in the things of this life and world, and we forget about the most important things. So I'm asking you this morning, I'm telling you, let's set our focus and our attention not on the things of this earth for this coming year, but let us set it on things above. Things are going to happen in this world that we don't like. Things are going to happen in our government we don't like. Things are going to happen in our family that we don't like. Things are going to happen in our community that we don't like. But if you have your mind set on the things of Christ, then the things of this old world won't weigh us down. We'll have something to look forward to, a better life to live. Lord, You know our hearts. You know what's been going on in our lives, and You know where our focus has been. We get caught up in the things of this old world, and they become so important to us. Whether we get this done, or we get that done, or we do this, or we do that. And Lord, we kind of feel left down and let out if we don't get done what we want to in this old world. Let's put our focus, Jesus. Help us through the Holy Spirit to put our focus where it needs to be.
Yes.
And that is on Jesus Christ.
Yes.
As Lord of our Master of our lives and our hearts. We submit that to You, Lord. And we commit ourselves to it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless. Happy New Year!